Good morning, good morning. This is Elder Lewis Gray coming into your ear gate on this Tuesday with another word from the Lord. What a beautiful day it is to be in the land of the living. And as I say every Tuesday, if you have breath in your body, you owe God a praise. For the scripture says, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. And I just give God the glory, give him the praise for allowing me to see another day. And you ought to give him glory and give him praise as well. You're alive. And what can be better than to have breath that you can breathe, your blood running warm in your veins? You've got a reason to give God some praise today. And so I thank God today for another day. Thank God for you and you, whether you're listening by way of your office, your car, or your home in Radio Land. However you're listening today, I thank you for joining me with another program to hear a word from the Lord. I thank God for my pastor, Pastor Barbara Kimbrough, who is the pastor of our church located here in the great city of Cocoa, Florida, located at 16 South Wilson Avenue at True Pentecostal Community Temple Church of the Apostolic Faith. Thank God for you, Pastor. I love you. Amen. Thank God for our president, her husband, President Charlie Kimbrough. We love you as well. And as always, to my beautiful wife, Minister Frieda Gray, who is on the job, I love you as well. I thank God for her. God has given me a good thing. And also, I have favor with the Lord. For the scripture lets us know that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord. And so I thank God for my wife. Thank God for her. We have been married for 22 years. We have been together for 33 years. And I thank God for every moment that I have known her. And so I thank God for you, you and you joining us today, taking time out of your busy schedule to hear a word from the Lord. If you're in your car, in your office, as I say, try to say each week, do not touch that dial. You are here by divine appointment. You're not here by accident. God wants you to hear a word from the Lord. Amen. I thank God for the word that he gave me on this past Sunday. It was necessary that God would get the glory out of my life. Amen. And I'm going to kind of rehearse that today. I believe that that word is not just meant for the church, but it's meant for all listeners. And God just showed up and had his way. I thank God for that word that he gave me, that it was necessary. God just moved, and I just thank God for that. Do not take the glory, but I give God the glory. As always, it's the God that's operating in me. I thank God for the change that he gave in my life, because without him, amen, I was nothing. And through him, I can do everything. And everything I do is because of him. And so I thank God for him having his way on this past Sunday. And we want you to come out to our services. Join us. Our Sunday morning services begin at 10. Our Sunday school services begin at 10 a.m. Our Sunday morning worship begin about 11:40, 45-ish. Tuesday night Bible studies begin at 7 p.m. And our Thursday night youth services begin at 7 p.m. as well. Come out. Amen. God is doing great things at True Pentecostal Community Temple Church. We want you to be a part of the growth. Come grow with us. Come kingdom build with us. God is getting ready to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. He's getting ready to do extraordinary things on 16 South Wilson Avenue here in the great city of Cocoa. Don't hear about it. Be about it. Join in and help us build because God is doing a new thing there. And so without further ado, we're going to go into the Word of God. I've only got 30 minutes, and I'm not going to be able to go into every detail of the word. Amen. But I just want you to get a a glimpse today, amen, of what God wants you to know. Amen. And again, Genesis 50, and I'm going to read 19 through 21, and then we'll skip over to Romans 8 through 28. Again, that's Genesis 50, verses 19 through 21, and Romans 8 and 28, both very familiar passages of Scripture. And Genesis 50 said, "And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Romans 8 and 28, and very familiar passage of Scripture. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called, who are the called according to his purpose." Dear gracious Father, we thank you for blessing me to come before your people just one more time. I decrease, and to allow you to increase, to you and you alone to get the glory. Use me for these few moments to say what you say, to speak, as you give me utterance. God, I'm praying that you touch every ear of the listener out there, that they may go away better. They may go away fresh. God, they may go away renewed, regenerated, and reinvigorated, God. Oh, God, I thank you for my pastor. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my children. Thank you for the listeners that you placed to listen today. Thank you, God, for this platform. God, remember, God, WWBC, God, they're doing a great work. Do not allow them to come down. Remember those that are sick and afflicted in their bodies, our president, our Congress, our government, Supreme Court, governors, God, leaders, pastors, God, give them what you would have them to have in this hour. Remember those, God, that are in the hospitals and the jail cells and the nursing home, the backslider, God. Remember them. Touch them as only you know how. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. I just want to deal from a thought that I have already given you. It was necessary so that God may get the glory in your life. Can I tell somebody today that there are some necessary evils? There are some things that are necessary that God allows to happen so that he can get the glory out of our lives. Our troubles come to make us. They don't come to break us. If it doesn't destroy you, it will only make you stronger. It was necessary. Many of you Bible scholars, you know the story of Joseph, one of my favorite accounts in the Bible. See, these are not just stories, but they are real accounts of what occurred in the Bible. We know that Joseph was the 11th son of his father, Jacob. And he is loved by his father. He is loved more so than all of his brothers because he is the son of his father's old age. And because he is favored and because Jacob loves him, he makes him a coat of many colors. And sometimes we need to be careful about showing favoritism, because it sends the wrong message sometime to the other children, and they can take it as a man, an insult that they aren't worthy. And so we need to be careful to not show so much favoritism. We try to love them all the same. But nevertheless, Joseph is favored, and his brother sees that he is favored, and they plot to kill him, because Joseph has been called of God. You know, many people are not going to like you because you're called of God. They're not going to like you because they see the anointing in your life. They see how God is using you, and they become jealous of you. And so they plot to kill God's anointing. They plot to kill you. And so we see here that his brothers plotted to kill him, plotted to stop him. And Joseph, he has a dream. Joseph, one day after his father sends him to go and see how his brothers are doing, he looks for them and he finds them, and they see him coming, and they plot to kill him. Joseph had told them of a dream, told his father and of his brothers of a dream that one day their sheaves are going to bow down to him. In other words, God was going to place Joseph in an elevated position, and his brothers were going to come and they were going to bow to him. And they sought to kill Joseph. The Bible says they hated him yet the more. And so they plotted to kill David. They plotted to kill Joseph. But can I tell you that the enemy wants to kill you? He wanted to destroy you. You know all those things that you went through? He wanted to destroy. Just think back over the stuff that the Lord has allowed you to survive. The enemy wanted to destroy you, but God didn't give him permission. Didn't give him permission. Because the Bible says that Reuben stepped in. Reuben said, don't lay any hands on him. He is our brother. There's no need to kill him. Judah did so also later. So God stopped the plot. He stopped the plot. And I'm talking to somebody today that's listening within the sound of my ear. God never gave the devil permission to destroy you. You're here by the grace of God. You're here not by your own might, not by your own strength, but you're here because God didn't give the enemy permission. You ought to rejoice right there. You ought to rejoice that God didn't allow you to be destroyed. Somebody else went through the same thing that you went through. You know that accident, that car accident should have killed you, but it didn't. It didn't. It didn't destroy you. But you know what it did? It ought to have made you stronger. It was necessary. It was necessary for his brother. See, God had ordained that one day Joseph was going to be second in line to Pharaoh in a totally different country, Egypt. And so it was necessary that his brothers hated him in order for them to devise a plot. But they didn't know that their plot was a part of God's plan. Can I tell somebody today, amen, that when the enemy sought to destroy you, his plot was to kill you, but yet it was part of God's plan to bring you to a place where you can say that if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, I would have been destroyed. I would have been killed. I would have lost my mind. But God, it was God. You're alive today because of God. And we know the story that they plotted. And they threw David in. I keep wanting to say David. David's on my mind. I might have to bring him up later. But they thought to kill Joseph and they threw him in a pit. But can I tell you? The pit was not Joseph's way down, but it was really on his way up. The pit was really a promotion. Because it took the pit to give him transportation to where God was trying to take him to. You see, sometimes when we're in the pits of life, it causes us to pray more. It causes us to fast more, to seek God more. We're on our knees more. So sometimes God allows us to go through some pits in order for us to position us to where he wants us to be. See, many times we will not pray to God unless we're going through something. We don't remember God
unless we're going through something. I've preached at jails. When I lived up in Indiana, we had a jail ministry, and when I was up there, I would see prisoners, and I would see people that I grew up with. They were in jail. They would hear me preach, and when I'm done preaching, they will say that they found Christ, and when I get out, I'm going to come to your church. Blah, 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 blah. When they get out, you never see them anymore. But while they were in jail, they were praying. While they were in jail, they were seeking God. While they were in jail, they were reading his word. See, sometimes we will not pray unless we're in the pits of life. Sometimes the pit is where we need to be in order to get to where God is trying to get us to be. God is trying to perfect us, to make us more like him, to make us in his image. And sometimes the only way to do that is cause us to go in the pits of life. And so we know that while he's in the pit, they agree not to kill Joseph, but rather sell him. Here comes some Midianites, and they sold him, and on the way, he goes to Egypt. My God, my God. Look at God. Remember the scripture we read? For we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and who are called, the called according to his purpose. God had a purpose for Joseph. And he took what the enemy was doing and turned it for his good. While he's in the pit, he catches a ride to Egypt. See, his bad situations that he found himself in due to his brother, God turned it towards his good. See, many times we're going to find ourselves in life going through bad situations, but yet we serve a good God. And see, whenever we serve a good God, Jesus, in spite of what bad situations we're going through, the good God is going to turn it around for our good. He's going to turn our bad to our good. And so here we go. He's on his way to Egypt. And there he finds himself in Potiphar's house. And you know what? The Bible lets us know that where he went, the Bible lets us know that the Lord was with him. You see, it doesn't matter what you go through in life. As long as the Lord is with you, that's the place to be. I say, I don't want to be anywhere where the Lord is not. I don't want to be a millionaire and the Lord's not there. But you know, you'd rather be broke and with God than to be rich without God. And so he's on the way to Egypt. But when he gets to Egypt, something happens. He goes to Potiphar's house. And Potiphar makes him the leader of the house. You know what I thought about? Hey man, Egypt's not so bad when you're in charge. God made him the head and not the tail. See, when you're the head and not the tail, it's almost like not being a slave at all, because God placed you in charge. We know the story. Like I said, I don't have time to go into all of the detail, but we know that when he gets to Potiphar's house, he is lied on by Potiphar's wife. She kept coming to him, saying, lie with me, lie with me, lie with me, wanting him to sleep with her. But Joseph, being a man of God, wouldn't do it. So finally, she takes matters into her own hand and she grabs a hold of him. Joseph runs out and she grabs his cloak, and then she makes up and she exaggerates. He tried, basically, just paraphrase, he tried to rape me. You brought this man in and he tried to rape me. Her exaggeration, hallelujah, again provides him transportation. And he ends up in prison. My God, my God. On the outside, to the natural eyes, we would say, what's happening here? But God all along is working his plan. And we know the story, how he goes into the prison and he's there. He is there, and again he is made leader. And while he's there, two people have dreams, the butler and the baker. And he tells them what's going to happen to them and what the dreams mean. And he tells them, in essence, to run through the story that in 3 days, one of them is going to be dead. And in 3 days, one of them is going to be restored their position. And it was the butler that's going to be restored his position. And the butler's released. And Joseph tells the butler, do not forget about me. And what he does not want to happen happens. The butler forgets about him. Some of you have, you're in a position where you think that God has forgotten about you. But God's not forgotten. He remembers. You see, God's hesitation, God's preparing your elevation. In God's hesitation, he is preparing your elevation. See, in our patience, possess ye our souls. We have to be patient. Many times we want God to operate right away, but God is devising something. He is materializing something to where God is getting ready to elevate us. See, sometimes we want to get out the fire before we're done. But you know, like anything you cook, you don't want to take it out too quickly or it's undone. God said, I've got you in the fire. It is necessary. See, it's necessary for us to stay in the fire. It's necessary for the turkey to stay in the oven. It's necessary for the chicken to still stay in the frying pan, because you want to make sure that it's perfected. We know the story. After 2 years, after the Pharaoh has a dream and no one could interpret the dream, he calls, the butler remembers Joseph. There's a man in prison that told me about my dream. He can tell you. We all know the story that the Pharaoh calls for Joseph, and Joseph comes and he gives the interpretation of the dream, and he puts Joseph in charge, and there was a famine in the land. And we know there's 7 years where there's abundance, and then there's 7 years of famine. In that 7 years of famine, Canaan is affected where his brothers were. And we know the story of how Jacob sends his brothers to Egypt. Now, Joseph is second in charge. He is in control of the food and the money and all of that. And they come and they bow before Joseph. Just like God gave Joseph in his dreams that one day his brothers were going to bow before him. But see, it took everything that occurred to Joseph in order for that moment to happen. I am talking to somebody today. You are going through a sickness. You are going through a problem. You are going through a situation, problem in your marriage, problem with your children. You've lost your job. You lost your car. Your credit's bad. But can I tell you, it is necessary, because if you were not sick, you would not know that God is a healer. If you were not broke, you would not know that God is a deliverer, that he can provide, put food on your table. It is necessary. The stuff, some things that you have gone, it was necessary. I told some of you that I had a car accident before I got saved. Hallelujah. And I could have lost my mind, but it was necessary for me to go through what I went through so that I can say that it was God. So that God could get the glory out of my life. I told somebody, well, I was on another radio station, but I told them, I said that I love music, and I started singing when I was 8, 9 years old. My goal was to make it in the music industry. I had record deal options. We could have opened up for the OJs, and I dreamed of having a life in the music and the entertainment industry, but it did not happen. I had some failures, and man, was I disappointed. But can I tell you, it was necessary, because had I obtained the life that I wanted, I wouldn't have had the life that I had. If I had gotten the life that I wanted, I would have lost the life that I had. Jesus said that if you lose your life for my sake, ye shall find it. But if you keep your life for your sake, you will lose it. I found life. It was necessary. that I didn't make it over there in the secular world. Because I wouldn't be the preacher I am today. I wouldn't be saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But I am today. And I thank God. Thank God that I didn't make it in the secular. No tell I could have been strung out on drugs. See, you got to be able to thank God for what didn't happen. Realize that what didn't happen was necessary. And so that brings us to our text. Their father, they get together, they make up, and Jacob, their father, dies. And so they fear after their father died that now Jake, that Joseph is going to take, he's going to exact revenge now. But look what he says. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God. But God. See, that reason that you're not destroyed is but God. It would have destroyed you. But God. Meant it unto good. Meaning that the evil that you did to me, God took it and he worked it together for my good. Hallelujah. For we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and who are the called according to his purpose. God took their evil and worked it for their good. I'm going to say this and I'm done. I remember growing up and I get up on Saturday mornings and I would watch cartoons and Saturday mornings were our cartoon days. I used to love it when I was a young boy. And there was this one cartoon that came on and it taught you, it sang as it taught you. It was called Schoolhouse Rock. And one of the songs that said is, I'm just a bill. I'm just a dollar bill. Hallelujah. I'm just a bill rather. And they talked about the Constitution, how bills get passed. But there was another one and that was called Conjunction Junction. What's your function? But is a conjunction. But. And all conjunctions change the narrative. It changes one side of the sentence where it may have been a not so good, but by the time it crosses the conjunction, the narrative changes. That's what God does. But God, he changes the narrative. What they did, they meant for evil, God changed it for Joseph's good. And what he says is, now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. He was saying, don't worry about me. God meant what you did, what you meant for evil, he turned it for my good. So I want to say this, that if you're going through something now, understand that it's necessary. God's going to get the glory out of it. God's going to take the bad and turn it for your good. It's necessary. Just tell yourself that it's necessary that I go through what I'm going through, because in the end, God's going to turn it for my good, and he's going to get the glory out of my life. Hallelujah. So I'm out of time, but not out of word. Hallelujah. I want you to join me again on next week, the same time, same channel. Amen. And know that what you're going through, it's for the glory of God. It is necessary so that God can get the glory out of your life. You be blessed. Until next week, may God be with you. We here at True Pentecostal Community Church invite you out to our services, which are as follows. On Sunday morning, our Sunday school services begin at 10 a.m. Our Sunday morning services begin at 11:40. And due to the COVID-19, our weekday services begin at 6 p.m., which our Bible studies are on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. And our youth services are on Thursdays at 6 p.m. as well. And we trust that you'll come out, have a high time, and worship the Lord with us. Our church is located at 16 South Wilson here in the great city of Cocoa, Florida. You be blessed throughout the week.